want you to turn with, we're going to look at some things in Second Corinthians. And I want you to turn to Second Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to talk to you about handling the Word of God this evening. And look what Paul, our apostle, has to say about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to begin reading in verse 2, I guess. And we'll start off with verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, of course, he's referring back to chapter 3, and we have the ministry of the New Testament. In verse 6, we're able ministry through the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we're able ministers of the new Spirit of the New Testament. And somebody would say, well, what's the Spirit of? Oh, we want the New Testament. We are the Spirit of that New Testament. What is the Spirit of that New Testament? Somebody might ask. Well, the Spirit of the New Testament is the forgiveness of sins. And it's also, look down in verse 8 of chapter 3, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration concerned condemnation be glory, that would be the law, the letter. Much more doeth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And so being joined in Christ is not having his righteousness and the forgiveness of sins is the Spirit of the New Testament. In other words, we have what they're going to do. They're looking for that time when God shall take away their sins and shall be have the New Testament. People say, well, what is the New Testament? We'll look back in Hebrews, and we're going to come back to 2 Corinthians. In Hebrews, notice in chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8, and notice in Hebrews chapter 8, in verse 8, Hebrews 8, verse 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. All right, he's going to make a new covenant with them. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. And here's the new covenant. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their heart, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Are you in the New Testament? Do you have God's law, and do you have God's word in your heart? And that you don't need nobody to teach you. You know it all. They will. Look what he said. Verse 11. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquity. Well, I remember no more. In that, he said, a new test of covenant, he hath made the first old. That is the Old Testament. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Did it vanish away? absolutely with Israel did. And there will have a New Testament in the future. God will write His laws into their heart. Look in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them, that be Israel and Judah. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their heart, and their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now turn back to Romans, and you probably got this verse memorized. Look in Romans chapter 11. In Romans chapter 11. And notice in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans 11, 25. Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, Israel, when I shall take away their sins. And you'll find that again in Jeremiah chapter 31. We're not going there. But Paul said, seeing that we have this ministry, well, what is it? We're ministers of the Spirit of the New Testament, and the Spirit of the New Testament is, we're not waiting to get sins forgiven. We're not waiting to be righteous in Christ. We are righteous in Christ, and our sins have been removed and forgiven. And that's the Spirit of the New Testament. Now back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. And notice where he says there, therefore seeing we have this ministry, the Spirit of the New Testament, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. Now, he says there in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. And he's looking back again in chapter 3. In chapter 3, notice in verse 13. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, that first testament abolished. But their minds were blinded, for unto this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it, the heart, their heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. They'll see clearly. That salvation and all of that and our gospel is in Christ. Now, what blinded Israel? What was their veil that Moses put over his face? It was their religion. Look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And notice in Romans chapter 10. Christ became a stumbling stone Notice in Romans 10, let me go back to verse chapter 9 and verse 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not obtained of the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. That stone was Christ. They could not see that Christ was their Messiah. They could not see that he had been going to the cross as their Passover lamb to give them forgiveness of sins. They could not see that. They put their glory in Moses, in Abraham. They put their glory in what they could do, the works of the law, in their flesh. Instead of trusting Christ, they trust their religion. Isn't that the veil that's over people today? Isn't the people today trusting in their religion instead of what Christ did for them on the cross? That's exactly what people do. People today are not trusting that Jesus Christ died for all of their sins. They're not trusting in the fact that he went to that cross and he became what they are. They don't even believe that. They're trusting in their flesh. They're trusting in their good works. They're trusting in their religion. They're trusting in their baptism. They're trusting in their keeping of the law. They're trusting all the commandments of God. They're trusting to be a better person. They're trusting in doing the golden rule. And if I do enough good works, then God will let me in. They're stumbling at the stumbling stone. What is the stumbling stone? The stumbling stone is that Christ went to the cross and he died for all of you. And it's not up to you. It's not about you. As far as you doing something for your salvation, it's about you believing what was done for you. Now look on. Come down with me. It goes on, verse 31. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They are working their self to death for God. I mean, they're doing all the things that religion tells them to do. They have a zeal about that religion, and they have a zeal toward God, but it's not according to knowledge. What is the knowledge? Christ. But gone. Well, they being ignorant of God's righteousness, there it is, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They haven't submitted themselves unto what God did for them. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. And Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that my own righteousness not being found in him, having my own righteousness which is of the law. And what is the righteousness of the law? It's trying to keep the commandment. It's trying to be a better person. It's trying to clean up the flesh. It's trying to please God in your flesh. And you can't do it. That's why Paul said in Romans 8, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. I want you to understand something today. You either have Christ or you have death. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either in him or you're not. How can I be in him? By being good? You can be in him by believing and receiving. He said, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. believer. Now, there are people today that would hide that from you. And that's what I want to talk to you about. Number two, having the Word of God deceitfully. The word deceit is catching or ensnaring, is misleading a person. The misleading of a person. The leading of another person to believe what is false. If I lead you to believe something that is false, then I have deceived. You understand? Then I'm in deceit. Believe what is false, or not to believe what is true. So it works both ways. A deceitful person will lead you to believe something that is true, that is false, but yet there is deceit in the fact that if you have something true, he tries to persuade you that it's false. That's deceit. And to ensnare, it's fraud. It's trickery. Deceit, using tricks, stating a falsehood, conning you to believe something that's true, that is false. You know what my mind's thinking about? Of the multitudes of preachers that stand before thousands of people, and they're up there on the stage and have all this staged out stuff and have people walking up there. They're supposed to be crippled. They're supposed to be have their arms and are blind and can't hear and all of this. And they're up there and they're slaying them in the spirit. They're supposed to be healing them and falling all over the place. That's a con artist up there trying to make people believe something that's true when it's is false. That's deceit. That's handling the Word of God deceit. In trickery. So how you know it's trickery? I know what the Bible said. Now you know something? If God Almighty gave me the power, like they talk about having, there wouldn't be no need for St. Jude's children in hospital. I'd go there and clean that. April would not have to worry about her husband, Doug. I'd go over there and shoot. None of my members would ever have to worry about having a disease. I would eat. Come on, folks. Don't you reckon Peter, don't you know the Lord walked into them people? He walked into Peter's house and his wife's mother laid there with a fever, a high fever. She's going to die. He walks right over there, takes her by the hand, raises her up. He never asked if he could do that. He just did. There was a man that was born blind. He didn't have no eyeballs in his head. He's born that way. It wasn't something that happened to him and made him blind. He's born blind. He's born without any eyeballs. And he wants to be healed. Our Lord went down there, spit in the ground, and made out of the dirt a duck. You know what the Lord did? He made him two eyeballs and put it in his socket and told him to go and wash. That man went and washed, and that man's healed. He didn't use trickery. He didn't say when it didn't happen, he didn't have faith. He just did it. That's power. Paul over there in Acts 28, he's taking up sticks. He's putting them sticks into the fire. There comes out a viper out of the flame, and that latches on to Paul's hand. Now, if that ever happened to me, they wouldn't worry about the snake bite. I'd be needing some cardiac arrest. I'd be needing somebody to pump my heart again. The snake bite, my heart would explode before the snake bite venom got me. Paul, you know what he did? He just shook it off into the fire and went on. And barbarous people, they're looking at him. They thought, well, this man's got to be a crook. God's going to avenge him anyway. And after they looked at him a while and seen that he wasn't swollen and nothing had happened to him, they thought he was a god then. Well, you can't have that happen to you today. I just want you to see, folks, this world is trickering you. It's using tricks and con artists out there, and they're in the name of religion. Don't be sucked in by them. Look with me in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Here's a good example of what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 8. Notice what he says there in Acts 8. Notice in verse 9. They're going down there. They're scattered everywhere. Saul's making havoc of the church. Verse 9. There was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used what? Sorcery. Witchcraft. Sorcery. Tricks. And bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Well, then I know what Simon was out there telling people, that he was God's man. What? Using sorcery, bewitching the people. And verse 11, to him they had regard because that a long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. Magic. Boy, I see that today more than ever. As we get closer and closer to the end, you're going to see more and more of that. You know what shows is popular today? Something has to do with magic. We all like to watch it. You know why Harry Potter was so popular? Do you know what they're going to do in the tribulation? They're going to use sorcery. Magicians. Trickery. Calm, powerful. And you're going to think that he's a great man. Now there are three things I want you to look at. And I'm going to focus. What is deceit? What is handling the word of God deceit? Number one, the gospel of Christ is how a person is saved. When you have people trying to, that's a true statement, is it not? Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believes. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which is saved, it is the power of God. Folks, that's true. That's something we stand on. He said to the Corinthians, I have begotten you through my gospel. He said to Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised again from the dead according to my gospel. It's Paul's gospel. That's the gospel that saves people today. That's true. But yet there are people today that want to resist that truth, and they want to change that truth. That's hanging the word of God deceitfully. That's hiding to ensnare people in their religion. Turn with me and look in Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. To hide the word of truth of God is to handle the deceit. In 1 Timothy, Galatians chapter 1. Notice what he says there in verse 6. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There be some that trouble you and would prefer the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, now there goes Pat's here, she knows this. There goes that angel of the Mormon church. He said, though we, she used to be a Mormon prophet. And used to be. He's saved now. But look what it says. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He didn't say for you to curse him. He just said, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Paul used that a lot. In fact, while you're there, look back with me in 1 Corinthians. And look at, hang on to Galatians, we're coming right back there. But look in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Just turn back a book and look in the latter part. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Maranatha. You know what that is? Damned when the Lord comes. Cursed when the Lord comes. If any man love not the Lord Jesus, let him be cursed and when the Lord comes. And Paul said, let him be, they preach another gospel, let him be accursed. He said there, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. While we're there in Galatians, look over in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath, what's that next word? Bewitched, just like in Acts chapter 8. Bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently sent forth crucified among you. Do you realize Jesus Christ is crucified among you every Sunday? How is he crucified among the people? Through preaching. How is he made manifest to the people through preaching? If I don't preach you the word of God, if I hide the word of God from you, then I am a deceitful individual. I am keeping back that which God would have you to know. I have defrauded you. And God is an avenger of all such. To hide the word of truth is to handle it deceitfully. The gospel of Christ is the word of truth. It is a true statement. If I add to it or take from it, if I add to that gospel, then I have deceitfully hid something from you. I hope you get what I'm trying to get across. There are people today that want to hide the truth of 2 Timothy 2:15 from you or from the body of Christ. They don't want people to understand they got a right to divide the word of truth. The majority of people don't even know 2 Timothy 2:15 is in the Bible. Because the majority of people today don't even use the King James Bible. And 2 Timothy 2:15 in the other translation, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, if not even in them Bibles. Talks about handling it aright. Talks about cutting a straight line. Talks about other things instead of the sixth grade English of the King James. They hide it. They suppress it. They keep people from knowing the truth. Why? They don't want you free. They don't want you to see what Christ is in you and what He's done for you. You say, I can't believe that there's people like that. They might not know that they're like that. Look with me in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. You see, the problem with the teachers and the preachers today, they might not understand what they're doing. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what he says. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Wax is to drive forward. It's to progress, to increase, to profit. Wax. Worse. Worse. Increase. More and more. Look what he said. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving. And what? Being deceived. You see, they might not know that they're deceiving people because they're deceived and they've been deceived. And they're in the trap and they're ensnared in a trap and they're wanting to get you in that trap. Wanting to get the people, the members of the body of Christ. And when I say you, I'm not referring to you individually because I know you know the truth. But I'm talking about you as the body of Christ today. In fact, while you're there in Timothy, look back with me in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, notice what he says there. Now, I'll tell you what. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, and Godly eventually will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him, the devil, at his will, Satan's will. In other words, he takes them captive. He ensnares them. And it's like I drew out a few weeks ago, the religious system is like a giant spider web, and it ensnares people, and it blinds people, and there are people in there that are hiding and suppressing the truth. They're handling the word of God deceitfully, and they're frauds. And they might not even know, because they're deceived. So, well, what are we to do about it? We're to judge all things. Turn back to 1 Corinthians. People say, well, you're not supposed to judge, be not judge, not be not judged. I've heard that. That's Matthew chapter 7. Judge not, it's be not judged. And they don't even know what he's talking about. Let me show you a judgment you better do. You that are here in this building, you better do this judgment. Look in 1 Corinthians. And notice in chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice in verse, I'm just going to just jump into things. Verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And that's where they take off and shout. God, we've seen or ear heard. They never read the next verse. The next verse says, but God hath revealed them, the things of verse 9, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How are you going to know the things that God has freely given to you? Well, that's right on. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now, most times people add things to that verse. In other words, they quote it like, the Holy Ghost teaches comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. That's not what the verse says. It's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The spiritual are the people. You compare spiritual things with spiritual people. Why? Verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have a spiritual person, you have a natural person. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto it. You can't compare spiritual things with a natural man. You compare spiritual things with spiritual people. You want to know if you're spiritual? He goes on, he says, verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Now, a spiritual person, does he judge? He judges all things, does he not? Look what he said. Yet he himself is judged to no man. He ain't going to let no man judge. He ain't worried about what man thinks about him. That's what he's talking about. I don't care what they judge me. I don't care what they say about me. Why? Why is that? I know what the book says. Now look. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged to no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Let me go back and read that. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Where is that mind at? Give you a little hint. It's on the big old white board somewhere in this room. Now look down in verse chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear the meat. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envy and strife and division? Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I'm of Paul, another, I'm of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Tell me something today. The members of the body of Christ today that are entrapped and ensnared in the religious system and following the doctrines of that religious system, tell me something. Are they spiritual or are they carnal? They're carnal. Turn with me to chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. By the way, how do you judge? He said, he that is spiritual judges all things. We have the mind of Christ. You judge all things by the mind of Christ. You judge. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have everything Christ would have you to be. In Romans 2:5-11, you have everything that you're supposed to be. Romans 2:5-11, you take the word of God, Romans 2:5-11, that's to you, and you judge all things. You compare all things to Romans 2:5-11. You want to answer to your prayer? Look in Romans 3:5. Read them books until them books become a part of you. And you can say, oh, that ain't right. Somebody comes up with a doctrine? That ain't even what Paul says. Somebody tells you, oh, you can lose your salvation. You believe in once saved, always saved. No. I believe what the Bible says. Romans 8 says, Paul said, I can't be separated from the love of Christ. He said that I'm not having my own righteousness, but the righteousness of the Lord. I'm saved by the faith of Him. And on, you take the verses, you take the books of this Bible, you compare them to your own life, and you get strength, and you can face anything. Over and over, he says, there's comfort in the Scriptures. You know why people don't get comfort? They don't know the Scriptures. Look in Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Any man think himself to be a prophet or what? Spiritual. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the what? Commandments of the Lord. You know who is spiritual? It's people that take Paul, their apostle, and there's the commandments of the Lord. They write the divine word of truth. Now when you narrow them down, folks, it's not many spiritual people. See, today's religion judges spirituality by how many pews you jump, how loud you holler, how long you shout, how loud you sing, and on the thing goes. That's not spiritual. Do you know what true worship is? I heard a guy say today, true worship was coming into the house of God, filled with the power of God, people shouting and testifying and singing. That's true worship. No, I think, Jesus said, and he uses the verse in John 4, that they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Immediately my mind goes, well, what's spirit? What's truth? Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit and they are truth. You know what true worship is? It's studying this Bible. It's letting God say what he says. If you see in truth in the Bible, you see that. Even though I might not be talking about it, you might see something in the Scripture while I'm saying, why? I never seen it like that before. And it's totally different from what I'm even saying. I'm just trying to get you to see that is revival. That is worshiping. It's acknowledging that God's Word is the supreme authority. We come here to study it, to hear it preached, to get strength, fellowship. Men want to hide it. They want to corrupt it. Men hold the truth. They suppress it. Turn back to Acts and look in Acts chapter 20, and I'm going to close it. Now I realize Paul was Philippians. Philippians has four chapters. In the middle of the chapter book, yes, and in chapter 3, he's done wrote half the book. in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, finally, brethren. He goes on and writes chapter 3 and chapter 4, and writes the other half. So, finally, brethren, I'm halfway done. Look at verse 20, chapter 20, verse 20. In Acts chapter 20, verse 20, verse 27, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house. Men today hold back. They do like Job. Look over in the book of Job, quickly, Job. Now, if you want to find Job real quick, go to Psalm, just, you know, turn to the middle of the Bible, and go to Job, and look in Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. And notice what holding back is. How could I held nothing back that was profitable to you? Verse, he says there in Job chapter 6, verse 10, then should I yet, Job talking now. He's talking about wanting God to destroy in verse 9. Even that it would please God to destroy me, that he would let loose his hand and cut me off. You've got to realize Job, what he was going through, man. We never went through nothing like Job. Job lost his children. One day, all of his children was killed at the same time. He lost all of his land, his flocks, his herds. Then he lost his family. And then his body was stricken with on top of his head with the sole of his feet. And he sat down in a bunch of ashes and took a broken piece of pottery and was scraping the other four of the tower. Miserable. I can't imagine. And he said, God, won't you just destroy it? Let loose your hand and cut me off. Verse 10. Then should I yet have comfort. Yea, I would harden myself in sorrow. Let him not spare me. Now watch it. For I have not concealed the words of the Holy One. That word concealed, that's what men do today. They hide it, they hold it, they suppress it. And Paul said, I've never done that. I preached it. Look in verse, back in chapter 20, verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. When you write about this Bible, men that do not write to divide this Bible, they do not require